Now, our first speaker is a man that you all know. He has sacrificed his own personal feelings and his time to tireless public work ever since he was released from Guantanamo in 2005. He is director of Cage Prisoners, which is the lead organisation behind this evening's event. He has been the voice in this country to tell people what Guantanamo has meant and still means today for hundreds of families. Also, he's been the key figure in trying to shame politicians, not only here, but in many other countries, into accepting as refugees the innocent prisoners like himself, who were long since cleared by the US military, but are today still locked up. Mozambique.
In the name of Allah, most compassionate, most merciful. Thank you, Victoria, for the introduction. It's 10 years since the day when those first images of men in orange suits kneeling in laptop goggles. Around the world, and just a couple of weeks before I was taken and kidnapped from my own home in front of my own family, I saw those images and they had been embedded in my mind. And when I was told in the back of a vehicle with a hood over my head that had just been lifted by two Americans dressed very badly as Pakistanis, that I would be sent to Guantanamo, I thought they were joking. They weren't joking. One of the men who shackled me said, taking these handcuffs out, that I was given these handcuffs by one of the wives of the September 11 victims to go and catch the perpetrators, and then he proceeded to put them on my hands. And I realized then that I was, and we were, up against the world's most powerful intelligence agency, the world's most powerful law enforcement agencies, the FBI and the CIA, and of course our own MI5, who were lurking in the background constantly, always there at every leg of the journey, appearing and reappearing, haunting like ghosts or the spooks that we're told that they are. And it became evident to me that the hope that I felt from seeing a Briton, even if he was from the intelligence services, quickly faded away because I knew that they were in it together. And I know, in my case at least, and I know in the case of many others, that I wouldn't have gone to Guantanamo had it not been for my own government and my own people, people who are supposed to represent my interests, not the interests of the United States of America. But what I really want to say here is the 10 years that we're marking as former Guantanamo prisoners, we say, by the grace of God, alhamdulillah, we are free. The 171 that are still there have yet to begin a new ordeal. Not the ordeal of incarceration, but the ordeal of freedom. For those of us, wherever you happen to have been held and taken from, who are released, have to face things that we are not prepared for and live that every single day, in addition to what's known as the survivor's guilt. The unsung heroes of all of this and the people whose pain has not been felt properly or understood by society is those innocent women and children who've had to live lives without a father, without a husband, without a male figure, a family that's been shattered into, not allowed to continue to go on, and not allowed to go back to what it is that they loved so much, but to remain in limbo, that has destroyed some minds and has polluted the thoughts of some of the children towards even their own fathers. That isn't the fault of the children. That isn't the fault of the prisoners. That isn't the fault of the mothers. That is the fault of the people who continue to keep the men in Guantanamo, and those who think that they're doing enough by telling us through lip service that we are doing everything that we can to have those men released. 10 years of Guantanamo means, for me, 10 years of torture, cruel, abusive and degrading treatment, solitary confinement, 10 years of children who were sent to Guantanamo who have grown now into men, 10 years of amputees who had their limbs amputated in Guantanamo, 10 years of hearing every now and then that somebody has died and conveniently committed suicide, or as they call it, asymmetric warfare. 10 years of lies, 10 years of broken promises, 10 years of people saying that we want to close Guantanamo, we are against Guantanamo, in order to earn themselves some brownie points, but in reality the world is complicit, every single one of us. Because if Guantanamo was so bad, then whoever threatened the United States with sanctions if they don't close it? Whoever called for that? Which statesman, which politician ever said that there will be some sort of repercussion for holding people in this manner and destroying their lives? The language 10 years after isn't that these are innocent men, isn't that you are innocent until proven guilty, but rather it is that these people are still terrorism suspects, whether they are still there or whether they are free and released. We, as a group of people, are the most vetted people on the planet. Nobody's been vetted like us. Nobody's been interrogated like us. Not by the CIA and the MI5 and military intelligence and FBI. Nobody has been. And yet, still wherever we go, oh, there's a big question mark over you. Despite the fact that no one can show us to have committed a crime, evidently we can show that a crime has been committed against us. And yet still, Guantanamo continues. I see in this audience people who were fighting for my release and the release of others well before Guantanamo became a subject that everybody wanted to get involved in. And I have to thank you all, because without your courage and without your involvement and what you did to members for my own family and others, they would have been alone. Nobody would have stood with them. And this is the lesson of the 10 years of Guantanamo, is that when you see somebody suffering and under oppression, if you don't stand with them, then who will stand for you? That's the lesson that I learned from all of you who were involved right from the beginning. And I don't have enough words to thank you for it, but the fight's not over. And as I said, for some, imagine for Shaka Rama, and I have to keep saying his name because we were closest of friends. His son was born at the same time as mine was, only that 3 years later, at least I saw mine, 10 years later, Shaka's son doesn't even know who he is. Neither do the other children, to be honest with you. They were too young to remember. So this has destroyed those lives. And there is no way to regain all of that. And once, inshallah, once he's released, I want somebody here to come and tell me, or anywhere else, how is he going to rebuild that life? How is he? What's the process? What's the technique? What is the system that someone's going to come along and teach him and say, this is how you now become a father again? And the way that we survive as prisoners, those of us who had wives and children, was to tell ourselves every single day, you are not a father, you are not a husband, you are not a son, you are nobody, you are just a number. Because if you fall into the trap of thinking of your relatives, then it will destroy you. And so people come out of Guantanamo, perhaps appearing very strong, and we are strong based upon our personal beliefs, our faith and our resilience. But inside, what happens in the middle of the night, only we know and those who are closest to us know, and it's not pretty. and how Shankar will have to deal with that, and how the other 171 will have to deal with that. Nothing. No amount of compensation, no amount of counselling, no amount of sympathy will be able to ever replace that. So 10 years of Guantanamo. I really hoped that this would have been it, but I don't see any. I don't see any light at the end of this tunnel. I don't know where the next step is when you try to do everything that you can to fight for the people who are still there. And again, I have to defer to the resilience of those who are stronger than me, those who started from the beginning and are still there, those who are still campaigning. I don't know where you get your strength from, because for me, it's almost come to the point that I can't do anymore. But I don't want to end on a pessimistic note. What I have seen from people who have been involved in this process, to my left and to my right and in front of me, is that you carry on. You'll continue. You'll fight the good fight and ensure that, just like our project that we've begun in Cage Prisoners, that we'll never forget. La Tansa, never forget. Thank you.